This is the Everything is a Primary Source podcast, the program where history is derived from pop culture. I'm your host, Eric Paul. I was excited to meet and talk with Cece Payne of the History Collab and its podcast, Untextbooked, this past fall at the National Council for the Social Studies Conference in Nashville, Tennessee. Being in the Music City and right next to the Country Music Hall of Fame may have inspired Cece to choose a record that features a procession of artists, including a few country stars to talk about. 1985's We Are the World is our clue into the past for this episode. Take a listen.
Remind me of the organization that you're involved with, the History...
So I work at the History Collab, and my main thing that I do there is I coordinate a podcast that's called Untextbooked, and it's sort of similar in its goal and its vision to this podcast, and what we do is we help students ages 15 to 21 get in contact with historians who have some of the answers to the big questions that they have, and then we give them the platform to talk to that historian, have a conversation with them, and then turn that conversation into an episode to teach more people about what they learned.
So great, just broadcasting learning and the method and I love the idea. It's such a wonderful thing.
Yeah, thank you. The historians
that you work with, are they receptive? I assume that they must love it as well.
Oh, yes. They have a great time. A lot of them end up wrapping up the call saying, this was one of the best interviews I've ever done. I think there's something really special that happens when you have that intergenerational sort of moment of collaborating and trying to arrive at an answer as a team,
It's really special. I mean, it's such a valuable thing. And unfortunately, I feel like too many young people nowadays... And I'm sure it's been happening forever, but the older generations, it just puts them down all the time. They're just on their phones all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, and I'm like, everybody, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's not just kids. But there's some great thinking going on.
Mm-hmm.
Young people have great critical, and I think that that's a product of where we are right now. These
mm-hmm.
kinds of teachers are doing their jobs very well. They're encouraging kids to think critically and genuinely and authentically.
Yes.
And it's just a wonderful thing. I love, we're definitely going to be talking more beyond today.
I'm excited for it. I'm excited to talk more.
So from my table, which looks like I'm having a yard sale, you chose the We Are the World 45, which, considering the list of artists on here, it's kind of amazing that it's a tiny record for how huge this was.
Yeah.
And the question that we're pairing it up with is, how was it made? And you said just recently you were talking about that with somebody.
Yes, I was actually. So I personally am a huge fan of music sort of from this era. So the We Are the World music video is just always such a fun watch for me because it's got so many artists that I just admire so much. You've got Cyndi Lauper on there, you've got Bruce Springsteen. It's really special. But the thing that I've been contending with as I've gotten older is... that's a lot of star power to sort of get into one place at one time to make this happen. So how did that even sort of come to be? And funny enough, it was some social media thing that sort of had linked me out towards something with an answer. And somebody was explaining that the recording for this video happened after the American Music Awards. Because what's a better time to get a whole ton of musicians sort of in one place than the American Music Awards? But... it was happening after the American Music Awards. So everybody's sort of in this celebratory mood.
Yeah.
They're not really in the mood to be cooped up in a studio for hours and hours on end to sort of get this done. So it's funny because I feel like the further we've gotten from the recording and the release, we've seen, and I don't know if anybody listening has seen them, you've seen a couple of clips from the behind the scenes of this moment happening. And there's this one that I always laugh at because... you can tell that Michael Jackson is getting very irritated at this point, right? People are not hitting their notes. They're not coming in on time. And he's got this death glare. We're trying to get out of here, people. What are you doing? But that's the little bit that I know about it.
Which is not something you usually see out of Michael Jackson.
No.
He always comes across as super kind
super
and
kind.
Heal the world. And
yeah.
He was one of the organizers of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the USA for Africa, the whole, using music as a way to bring... attention to
mm-hmm.
The world's problems and how to fix them and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's his MO. I mean, that's MJ's MO. And I've seen it now that streaming, videos and stuff are out there.
Mm-hmm.
I saw something recently also of him getting annoyed and actually firing one of his his choreographers or something on stage in the middle of a song. Like he incorporate and like, oh, so now we get to see another side of him.
Yeah.
Not that we want to see too many sides of him, but of all that kind of stuff. And so this is just another one. I, you know, referring to that video of this being recorded, I remember even at the time when it was on, being like, this doesn't look real to me. Like, they almost, and now that you mentioned when it took place, like, that's why Michael Jackson had his, like, sparkly General's jacket on and, you know, the cool sunglasses. And they're all almost like, because it almost looks like they were plucked off the covers of their out. The whole thing, when they're, like, standing on the high rise, it looks like a record store, doesn't it?
It does.
Like, looks like the records are all just kind of mixed together.
Yeah.
And, but it was, like, a painful experience, I guess, because that's a lot of personalities.
Oh, my goodness.
Rock stars are kind of known for being.
Exactly. It's so funny. And I, it's funny because now that we've got the footage and that deeper understanding of the original version, as somebody who's a part of Gen Z, right, I was, like, in middle school when the remake of We Are the World sort of happened. I believe it was after the earthquake in Haiti happened. It became sort of a fundraiser effort for the people of Haiti at that time. And now I'm sort of having the same questions. Like, how did they get everybody there? Right. How did they manage all the, like, different attitudes and, you know, the, like, inevitable egos that sort of come with stardom to get that all in one place at one time? How do you make that happen twice? You know, they say lightning doesn't strike twice, but it kind of did. So
and
I'm curious about it.
The 80s, because that's an era of a lot of attitudes in music stardom.
Yeah.
It's like the height of... I mean, was Madonna in that group? Was she part of it?
I think that she was.
Because, I mean, she was the material girl. And you know, it's like, you can picture all of them. Like, I won't go back there unless I have Evian water and, you know, everybody looks at me only with, you know, for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Like, they're just so, like, specific about everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild to imagine that. But I also recall kind of confusing this with other stuff, because as a little kid in that time period, I feel like there was a lot of these, because, like, this is the time of the year that we start hearing that song. It came from, I think it was, they recorded out of England, about do they know it's Christmas? That was another, like, super group type thing. Boy George, I think Phil Collins, and probably one of the Living Beatles at the time. So that was out, and then they had Live Aid, and then they had Hands Across America, which I don't think had any pop stars in it, but it was still, like, I feel like there was, like, one of those things after another in the 80s.
Yeah.
And, you know, a more somber note, this is also the age when the AIDS quilt was being assembled, and that was a very similar thing of how it's made. It's assembled by all these different people with shared experiences.
Absolutely.
Why do you think that these things were made in that time period? What does that say to you about the 80s and maybe social awareness or global awareness?
That's a great question. That's a really great question. I think, and obviously, you know, like, I wish this was something that I had, like, 10 more days to go research and come back with a question. But off the top of my head, what I'm leaning towards is, I feel like the 60s and 70s that preceded this, like, time period, right? There's a lot of division happening. And it seems like the 80s sort of marked this moment where people are starting to come to terms with this, like, slightly changed, maybe more unified, but still has some, like, things to work out iteration of, like, America, iteration of the world, right? Like, the civil rights movement has sort of come and, like, started to settle down again. And things like that, you know, in the background, the AIDS crisis and epidemic is sort of starting to build. And I think that art has always sort of been this thing that unites people. I think that one of the most fun spaces that you could ever be at is a concert, right? It's a ton of people who are uniting over this, like, love of a particular art. And I think that the music that we're seeing at this moment is sort of in that same sort of vein. Like, art and music just has this incredible capacity for bringing people together. And I think that was really the objective with the USA for Africa, right? Like, what is the best way to bring America together to not necessarily focus on America for a moment, but focus on what we can be doing for another group of people? And music, I feel like, was the best sort of avenue to sort of make that happen, right? We see this, like, even now, I feel like fan culture in the modern era has like sort of taken on a life of its own, right? It's like, for example, if you're a fan of women's rap, like you can't love Nicki Minaj and Cardi B sort of at the same time. They're sort of like they're sort of being opposed to each other all the time. But if you do find the space to get them on the same musical track, on the same stage, and you get those fans to come together and share that moment of camaraderie, like there's something beautiful that kind of happens from it. So that's what I sort of think. I think that it's just, music has always had this ability to really bring people together. I was a band and a choir kid growing up, so maybe I'm like biased. I think music is the coolest thing in the world.
You're definitely not. In fact, the person I was talking to before this, we talked about the song Over There from 1917, mm-hmm. and how that, you know, just the lyrics of it speak to referring to all Americans as Yanks, mm-hmm. not just Northerners. And that in that time period, that was a unifying message too.
Yeah.
The title of the song is We Are the World.
We Are the World.
Not We're a bunch of celebrities in America.
Exactly.
That's more accurate. But they're like saying, We are the world. We are the children. We're the ones who make it better. So,
yeah.
I still remember it. I haven't listened to it in years. I can mm-hmm. still hear it.
Yeah.
Because it was on the radio all the time. Like, and they showed the video. I assume I wasn't allowed to watch MTV at that age, but I'm pretty sure they had it on all the time. And it's like that. You're absolutely right, because attached to each one of those people is a fan base.
Mm-hmm.
And that fan base, out of that, maybe a percentage of them takes what they're having to say seriously.
Yeah.
And I think one maybe downside of it is they just kind of, you know, USA for Africa. Mm-hmm. That's a gigantic continent. You know, is it like, is there a specific component to Africa or a region in Africa or a specific, you know, it just seemed like, you know, from any kind of detractors, they might be like, well, just throwing money at
an entire continent,
you know, like there's some warlords there that probably love that, you know, and steal from the people that your whatever your aid is trying to.
I think that that's something that we see sort of throughout the history of time with the way that we sort of talk about the continent of Africa. I feel like this is something that is not just exclusive to the We Are the World issue, right? I feel like a lot of times when we talk about the continent of Africa, sometimes we're not quick enough to do the work to differentiate like what those different like regions, different nations, the different needs that come up when you look throughout the space. Africa's a massive continent.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like some maps don't necessarily do it justice in terms of like just how much space it takes up on our globe, but it's a massive, massive place with so much diversity within it. So I 100% agree. I think that's one of the shortcomings of this, is I wish that there was a little bit more emphasis on, like, I don't know, the fact that there's so much to Africa. But I don't know. It's interesting.
In a way, it's almost like going back and finding the origin place 100 years before this,
mm-hmm.
when Africa was being carved up into colonies,
right?
And those colonial borders did not reflect the actual like movement of people and different kingdoms and empires that had already existed before it.
100%.
It was just Europeans showing up like, this is ours now, and I mean that disruption and the erasure of the culture and the history, you know, some of it purposeful. Just chucking, you know, here's that. Just get rid of that.
You
know,
discard it, yeah.
That, you know, whatever that was, you know, we're going to start it now.
Mm-hmm.
That comes back to haunt it because, you know, there's a lot of African American artists in this group.
Oh, yeah.
Chances are they probably didn't know where in the continent their family line went.
Right, because we didn't have things like Ancestry.com or 23andMe to
and
really
do
that
did,
digging.
You know, if they had, you know, slave, you know, part of their ancestry.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't recording
that kind
of information.
Records.
And so ancestry is particularly difficult. You know, so you're dealing with a lot of components here that the end result, it's a nice logo, USA for Africa, but it does still smack of that kind of almost like white man's burden feeling of the century before, of like, well, you need us. Like, you know, we're here to help you out.
Right.
You know, you can't do it on your own.
Yeah.
You know, that, and that, and I think not so much this song, but that English one I was talking about, the Do They Know? I mean, that's a kind of condescending song. You know, I'm like, what?
Do they know?
Like it's Christmas time at all. It's so miserable there. I'm like,
I know.
Not for everybody. Like,
right. And, like, also, I don't know, like, Christmas is not celebrated by everyone. And There's a whole lot of assumptions that go into statements.
The Islamic communities in Africa probably not really all that caring about, you know, Christmas time.
That's interesting.
So we just tore this thing apart.
Yeah, we did. Now I want to.
It's still good. That's what recorded. I mean, this is a recorded thing, so that's what it does for us. Like, they have no choice. But once you put it on a record physically, it just stands for us to analyze and what we get out of it. I mean, and especially this freeform style. I'm sure if somebody, and we could even check ourselves on some of the stuff. Like, okay, I wasn't totally. But the point of this is being like, yeah, I'm treating this the same way if somebody shoved a snapshot from any time period in front of me or a painting or something like that and took it apart.
Now I hear that. This is awesome.
I love the graphics of the We Are the World. It looks like, well, it kind of looks like one of those ransom notes.
I was just going to point that out. I was going to say we didn't even talk too much about the lettering. And I think that the lettering design is really interesting because it screams collage to me.
Yeah.
And We Are the World, if nothing, is a collage of just all these different voices. So I thought it was really interesting that they sort of chose that art style. I'm really intrigued by the color scheming in particular.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I don't know too much about it, but I know that it does sort of remind me of like... the Pan-African flag, I believe, like associated with like Marcus Garvey
the black and the
like
red
that sort of movement, right? This connection that happens between the U.S. and
Seems to be reserved just for the. And for audio the is the perfect time to do this. I'll put a picture up when I.
Yeah.
But the word world is the only one that's actually connected.
Right.
I mean, the W is not, but the O R. You know, it's so it's in cursive, so it's all. But these other ones are like. The we part, totally different lettering, totally different font. You know, it's intentionally meant to look like you cut it from a magazine or something. And then the R and the are two different, things altogether. And then the world part, which has the Pan-African colors involved in it. And being that I think, historians, anthropologists, archaeologists have all pretty much agreed that Africa is the original place where humans emanated from.
Right.
Maybe that's what they're going for.
Yeah, so I like that idea.
I'm going to erase all that stuff we said about them being, extensions of... Maybe there is a little bit more knowledge here.
Right.
Be like, no, we are, all of us here, even Kenny Rogers.
Even Kenny Rogers.
is,
even Cindy Lauper.
If he did his ancestry, it would eventually find itself back to the cultural hearth of, the Crescent Valley.
Right. It's so interesting, isn't it?
Cece, I can't thank you enough for doing this.
Yes,
and
thank
you. Like I've been saying to everybody, but especially you today, I hope this isn't the last time we do this.
Yes, I hope so too. It would be so nice to collaborate again in the future. This was awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Three cheers for podcasting.
Yes, three cheers.
Three We Are the Worlds for podcasting. I'd like to make a point to say that CC's podcast project, Untextbooked, was just nominated for an Ambie Award, that's the Oscars for podcasting, in the Best History Podcast category. So if you aren't listening to Untextbooked yet, now here's even more reason to give it a try. When you're not listening to the Everything is a Primary Source podcast, of course. We wish the best of luck to CC and all the team at Untextbooked when we hear the announcement late March.
Please rate and follow this podcast wherever you are listening to it right now, and share it with everyone you know. You can follow the Everything is a Primary Source podcast on social media, including YouTube and especially Instagram. Show notes, which expound on each episode, and essays about history and pop culture can be found on Substack. The hub for all these things is everything-history.com. Thank you for listening to the EPS podcast, where everything is a primary source.